Versão 2. Prologue. The defense of life has become a commonplace. Everybody invoked it, from those concerned with the genetic manipulation to those who engage in planetary wars. Some see in the existing living forms and its diversity an endlessly reservoir of profit and research. Others, an inalienable patrimony of humanity. Some, seeing the existing living forms and its diversity, an endlessly reservoir of profit and research. Others, an inalienable patrimony of humanity. Some deplore that life had been so artificially decomposed and recombined to the point that its concept has been volatilized. Others celebrate that such denaturalization opened the way at last to new forms of post-humanity. This unfinished debate may be the symptom of a paradox that lies at the heart of the contemporary condition. On one hand, life has become the supreme target of capital. On the other hand, life itself became a capital, rather the capital per excellence, that everyone and anyone can dispose virtually, with political consequences to be determined. Capital life starts from this paradoxical condition, where are puzzled lines of domination and liberation, of control and escape, of command and resistance, of life and death. It's undeniable. The capital has never penetrated so deep and so far in body and soul of people, at their genes and their intelligence, their psychism and their imaginary, in the core of their vitality. At the same time, such vitality has become the prime source of value in contemporary capitalism. Inexhaustible reservoir of genes and ideas, invention and rearrangements. Life is, after all, a common capital. At least in theory, belonging to everybody, it's life that serves as support for new struggles and collective claims. At least in theory, belonging to everybody, it's life that serves as support for new struggles and collective claims. This ambiguous situation was embryonically thematized by Michel Foucault already in the mid-60s. Very soon he sensed that what the power mainly invested, life, was precisely what now anchored the resistance to it, at an inevitable overturn. But maybe he didn't take this intuition to the ultimate consequences. It fell to Deleuze explicit that the power of life, biopotency, should be an answer to the power over life, biopower. It fell to Deleuze explicit that the power of life, biopotency, should be an answer to the power over life, biopower. Biopotency means the political potency of life, insofar as it varies its forms and reinvents its coordinates of enunciation. The book that the reader has in hand travels between these two paths, as in a Moebius strip, the power of over life, the potency of life. The privileged dialogue with a group of theorists, mostly from the Italian autonomy, such as Negri and Lazzarato, but also Agamben, is due to the fact that they were able to transit in both directions simultaneously, operating without Manichaeisms, the philosophical and political legacy of Foucault and Deleuze-Guattari in the concrete context of contemporary capitalism. But the texts gathered here are not restricted to this theoretical domain.